take it to the Lord in prayer. We should never be discouraged. And if you're just going to do that by standing on the Scripture, standing on the Word, I think the spotlight was taken off of prayer and just put on claiming a promise. And when we do that, we depersonalize it. We don't need a relationship with God. We just need a word from God. And we grab that word, and He's obligated to honor it. But God has chosen to operate in a personal way with us. Whatever you ask, in prayer believing, you shall receive. And to qualify to pray, you need a relationship with Him, a reconciled relationship with Him, a right relationship with Him. Amen. We need a clean heart to do that. Amen? Amen? If you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So, when you stand praying, forgive. To qualify, to get an answer, it requires more than faith. It requires a heart condition that's right before the Lord. When you stand praying, forgive if you have. Amen? So when you go to a faith seminar and you hear how to build your faith to get the promise, it's not about this relationship with Him who looks upon the heart. It's just taking your faith, reaching out into the invisible until it becomes tangible, and taking it. God says, listen, if you don't get your heart right, I'm not listening. No matter how high you build your faith, if you don't forgive men, the Father won't forgive you. That means you would have to be sinlessly perfect to have a relationship with God. And you can't do that. You need mercy. And in order to get mercy, you have to show mercy. So we're in a situation right now when we need answers to prayer. And let me just say something very positive as we get into the worship. Someone said it, I never forgot. I wish I had said it, because I'm going to say it because it's so true. When God wants to do something big, He sets His people a-praying. That's old mountain talk, a-praying. Amen. Let's get a-going this morning and start a-praying. When He wants to do something big, He sets His people a-praying. There's never been and will never be a revival among people who do not know how to pray and get an answer. If My people, which are called by My name, would humble themselves and claim My word. No, you need boldness to do that. But you've got to humble yourself to pray in order to be right with God, so He'll hear prayer. Amen. And answer prayer. Amen. Amen. If My people, which are called by My name, would humble themselves and pray and seek My face. I love the blessing in Deuteronomy. It said, the Lord turn His face toward thee. Not look away from you, but look toward you. Lift His countenance upon you. If My people, which are called by My name, would humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked way. That's personal repentance. Yeah. Amen. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Amen. The Lord's pattern for all prayer. You see it coming forward all throughout the Scriptures. Hallelujah. This is so beautiful to me because we can all do this. Everybody in here, if you humble yourself, it's easy to repent of something you know is wrong in your life or your heart. It's not a negative thing to bring condemnation. It's something to get you set right with God where you can pray and believe and receive an answer. So He wants to do something big in our lives today, in my life today. He wants to do something big in your life today. Amen. And He's chosen to do it in answer to prayer. My people, which are called by My name, would humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked way. I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Glory be to God. Amen. That's powerful. No wonder the devil fights it so desperately and so hard. He never lets up. Amen. But neither does God. Amen. And every time there's a conflict, God always wins if we'll keep our trust in Him today. So God loves you today. You started it off with the right song today. Amen. It's all about prayer and getting answers. And I believe when we leave here today, we're going to have a heart to pray, number one. And we're going to know how to pray, number two. And we're going to get answers to prayer, number three. And when that starts happening, there's a joy that comes. Because I begin to ask God for things I wouldn't bother Him with before. Little things that I could do, but I'm having a problem with. But I just go ahead and talk to Him. You have not because you ask not. Well, I'm asking all the time. Amen. And God is answering all the time. And when He does say no, even that's an answer. Amen. He answered. That door closed, slammed shut. I could hear Him locking it. And I say, okay, that's fine. I don't want to go through no door that you're not in. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to have anything that is not in for your glory and for my good. Amen. Can we pray that way? That if it's for my good and His glory, He's going to grant it. And we're looking for that young man to be such a testimony today. Because we all gathered around in Jesus' name, laid hands on him, anointed him with oil, prayed the prayer of faith, and we're looking for God to do something big in answer to prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's worship him because I feel the preacher is here today. And it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let's sing one more. Praise God. We're all in the place where he said it. It's not the room that we're in. You can have a steeple on it, stained glass put in, amen, and all kinds of religious paraphernalia. But only a heart that is open to the Lord can cause him to come into our midst like he does. Amen. In fact, he said in the old covenant to those who thought they could build something out of stone and steeple and stained glass and gold, silver. The temple was something to see. Amen. It was beyond anything. They said, never been a house like it. Never will be again that man can build for God. But he said, you know something? He said, and he appreciated them honoring him by giving their best and building their best. Amen. But he said, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Amen. Now that's a big God. He's bigger than the building we build for him. Amen. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And he asked the question that begs an answer. Where's the house that you'll build to contain me and impress me? Amen. And then he said, to whom will I look then? If you can't build something to cause me to be impressed enough to manifest my presence, then to whom will I look? Even to him who has a humble and contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. That means reverence his word. I believe we've got people with that kind of heart in this room here today. How many believe your heart, you honor the Lord and reverence his word here today? Praise God. And you humble yourself before him. He said, that's where I'm going. Not into what man has built that thought would impress me, but I will. And by the way, he's not going into some temple that has been built. Our body has become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He comes to live in us. Praise God. And he's right here today. Amen. In our midst today. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated if you can. Thank you for worshiping from your heart and recognizing and reverencing the presence of God. That's where he comes, where he's recognized and when he's reverenced. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for the way you've been receiving the Word of God. I want to commend you today. Amen. Hallelujah. How many receive his blessing when you get it right? Amen. I'm expecting the blessing when I get it right. And I want to get it right. And I want someone to challenge me and tell me how to get it right. And then the onus, they call that responsibility in legal terms. The onus. after we hear the Word of God, the onus is on us. We become spiritually, legally responsible to God for what we know. And the Bible said to know to do good and choose to do it not, to him it is sin. And sin's a real issue when we go to pray. Amen? It's a real issue in our relationship with him and to him. The Bible said we know, this was a given, it was common knowledge, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. That's not sinlessly perfect. Amen? Not even a holy murmur? You ought to roar an amen. That means you're off the hook for being perfect. Amen. I'm going to run that by you again. Give you one more chance today. You don't have to be sinlessly perfect. Ooh, it's getting better. Amen. It's getting better. Aren't you glad for that? If you were sinlessly perfect, you would be saying today, I have no sin. I deserve an answer. The Bible said, you just lied. Your pants are on fire. Amen. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just, justified and free. He's not sweeping it under the rug. This is a forensic term for justification. Amen. It's a courtroom stuff. It's when the judge says that person has done something wrong, but it's justified. There's something called justifiable homicide. I mean, somebody's been killed graveyard dead, but they were coming through your front door that they beat down to harm you and your family. And if you shoot them, and you, like they told my son, he come home one day and his in Plant City, and his door lock had been, they'd been taking the screws out and loosening them up, so they'd come back that night and pull that doorknob off and come in. And he saw it when they got back from the grocery store. He didn't live near me at that time. And he saw it, and he called Plant City Police Department. They come out, and the policeman looked at it. He said, yeah, they were going to come back tonight and come in on you while you're sleeping. And he said, do you own a gun? And he said, no, but I can borrow one from my daddy. Daddy be packing. Yeah. Amen. So, it's Plant City, right? You got to have a pickup truck and a gun. It's part of to live there. And so he borrowed a little .32 pistol that maybe a mouse. I don't know if it would kill a rat or not, but anyway, it's a little .32. It don't shoot straight, but it was something to make a lot of noise. He borrowed my .32. I carry a .38. Anyway, I don't fool around. I'm not carrying now, okay? There's other people carrying in here. I won't tell them who it is.
We got you from all quarters, brother.
Me and my posse. we, this is how we roll. I don't need to carry. Hallelujah. But the cop told him something. He said, if somebody tries to come in and they bust your door down and you shoot, said, make sure if they don't fall in the threshold. If they fall backwards out, he said, be sure before you call us to pull them in. Now that's the policeman. He said, because if they're over that threshold, you can say I was in fear for my life. There's no way around having to shoot. And it'll be justified. You just committed a terrible crime, but if you're protecting your family, yourself, the law said it's a homicide, but it's a justifiable homicide. And you will not be charged. So remember that if you shoot somebody coming in, pull them across the threshold. No, wait for them to come on in. Anyway, they tell you, oh, don't use a gun. Just pick up a lamp or something. And I thought, a lamp? Even God says to use the sword of the Spirit. Can you say amen? I'm not encouraging you to violence or not trusting God like you should. I'm just saying, he was raised from the dead for our justification. Amen. We have sinned, but God, through the blood of Jesus that he honored, has forgiven our sin, and we have been justified. Amen. Justification is one of the strong building blocks of the Christian faith that causes us to never doubt our forgiveness that we have received from him. We have been justified by the highest court in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. And since we are justified, we have a standing with him called righteousness, a right standing with God. And there is a prosecuting attorney. And if you want to put that in right now, it will be just fine for the end of this time we spend together here today. There's a prosecuting attorney that is unrelenting in his accusations against us. And we find him in Revelation chapter 12. Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night. Amen. Day and night. He's relentless in accusing us. And our defense can't be that there's absolutely nothing in us to be held accountable for, that we're culpable for nothing. There's nothing that we can offer God to bring us into that kind of relationship. But it said they overcame him. Well, if we can't defend ourselves by saying, I'm perfect, I don't need anything, I've got it all together, how are we going to get out of that mess? We're in the high court of heaven. Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God, Revelation 12, day and night, and they overcame him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I love it when we sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing. Did you drop your pistol? It's okay. I just didn't want it to go off. Oh, no, it's all right. It's all right. I love you. It's okay. I drop things too. I did something worse. One communion, I dropped my wafer. God is still good, and he still loves me today. Amen. Hallelujah. We overcome. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ today. I'm so glad that I can literally plead the blood of Jesus in my behalf. I'm so glad that I don't just plead the blood of Jesus. Jesus pleads his own blood. His blood sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven in our behalf. And the Bible said we've come to the blood of sprinkling. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God said, when I see the blood in the old covenant, I will pass over you. No judgment is going to come into your house, into your life. Amen. I will pass. I'll judge Egypt, but I won't judge you. Amen. Why? Because you have slain that lamb. You have taken and put that blood on the doorpost of your home. And when the death angel comes into Egypt to slay the firstborn of every family in that nation, to soften their hardened hearts of a king and the people, to let God's people go, that they may worship him. Not just go do their thing, but that they might go and worship and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the God of the gods of Egypt. Hallelujah. I will pass over you. And they were to eat the flesh of that lamb that had been slain. And something happened. Someone coined a phrase, the meal that heals. they were talking about seeing Holy Communion. This is sound like Communion Sunday. It isn't, but it'll come around one of these Sundays. Amen. But in Holy Communion, we are partaking of representatives of the blood and body of Jesus Christ. It doesn't become the actual blood and body like Catholicism teaches. Amen. But it's symbolic of the real, genuine, sacrificial giving of His body, shedding of His blood at the cross. And the Bible said if we eat of His body, drink of His blood, if we partake of all that has supplied for us, amen, we partake of Christ. And His blood is drink indeed, His body is meat indeed. And he that eats of my body and drinks of my blood partakes of me spiritually in a fellowship relationship with me. He'll never hunger and he will never thirst. Glory be to God. So Christians that are struggling with the pull of the world, we just need to have more of a personal relationship with God that is so satisfying to our soul when the devil dangles something out there and we say, what would I want to give up any of this for something like that? I just won't do it. There's nothing better than what I have in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? He's a gracious and a good God today. Amen. Well, when he wants to do something big, he sets his people a praying. And the only way to have a prayer life that actually functions and is powerful, personal, and real is to have a relationship with Him where you know Him well enough to trust Him. I love the Old Testament term that is used over and over again. It's the word trust. I have a problem with the way faith is presented in the New Testament. I have a problem with it. You know what the problem is? You can depersonalize God. If you just see faith, and I've heard it called a force within you as you read the scripture, as you read the promise, then you stand on the promise. So you don't need a relationship with a person except to know that he's going to honor the promise if you stand on it and claim it. And we got into something called name it, claim it, theology. Whatever you say, that's what you're going to get. If you just say it with faith, God is obligated now to you to honor what you say. Whether or not you're honoring what He's already said to you is a non-issue. And yet, my Bible is the greatest issue. Because if He tells you to forgive and you don't, He said the Father won't forgive you. Amen. And if He doesn't forgive you, you're in a pickle. Yeah. You're in bad shape. Because He's not going to listen when you pray. You say, Pastor, I don't want to hear that. Well, there are churches right down around the area. You could probably walk to one where you will never hear it. And I guarantee you can find a YouTube channel where you won't hear it. And I double guarantee you, you can read a book in the bookstore where they will never say it. Man looks on the outward appearance. God goes deeper. He looks at the heart. And if our heart condemns us not, the scripture said, we have confidence toward God. But if our heart condemns us, He's greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Amen. If you're sitting here, we talked about forgiveness, and you felt condemned about that. God don't want you to feel condemned. He wants you to be convicted. Amen. He wants you to see a need for something that needs correcting. Amen. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter what they did to you. But you don't understand how deeply they wronged me, how deeply they hurt me. What happens when you don't forgive? Not just you're wrong with God and prayers are hindered. Something else happens. A root of bitterness. The longer you carry it without forgiving it, the more that bitterness takes root in your heart. You know how that works. I know how that works. I had a someone bless me out. That's a bless you out means curse you out. So let's just be real about it. A family member that just, boy, they let me have it with both barrels. And it was totally unjustified. I could defend myself. If I told you the situation, you'd side with me. You'd say, yeah, you ought to, I know just what you mean. And the devil always sides with me when I want to do that. And he'll side with you. Yeah, the devil side with me. Say, you got a right to feel like you they did this to you. Not you personally. It's him I'm talking about. I love you, Mike. he gave it right back. A root of bitterness. And I was carrying that, and I thought, you know, every time I think of that person, I think, boy, that is a rotten thing to do. How could they do that to me? How could they say that about me? How they could be that mean to me? And I said, Lord, I can't handle this. I can't. You know what the Apostle Paul said? It was happening in a church between brothers and sisters. And so he said, if you have forgiven anyone, I don't even want to know what the situation was that needed forgiveness. But if you have forgiven them, we forgive them also. Lest there be in any of us a root of bitterness, lest Satan should gain an advantage over us. That's why it said, give no ground to the devil. Don't give any ground. And it's practical before it's spiritual. The word is terra firma in the Greek. And it's talking about literally deeding a piece of property to him. I grew up in a Jim Walter home. I don't know a better illustration in my own life. I grew up in a home that my mom and dad saved up enough to put a down payment on a piece of property. And a home builder called Jim Walter, years ago, you remember the commercials? Yeah. If you had a piece of property, he would build a house on it without a down payment. You just make payments because he couldn't lose. He would build it. He wouldn't dry it in or anything. He would just build the house on it. You had to put in the electrical, put in the rest of it. But he would build that house on your property. Your deed to your property, when it was paid off, or the deed that you were paying on, he took that. If you failed to pay, he got the land and the house, and he could resell it. Yeah. Easy way for poor people to get a house built with little or no money. But you had to have land deeded to him for him to build anything on it. And if you give land, terra firma, place to the devil, then he can build a stronghold in your heart and in your life and begin to influence you because he owns that piece of property that you deeded to him, amen, when you gave in to him instead of Jesus Christ. Too many Christians are sitting in church this morning and the devil owns something in their life because they've given ground to him. It may be bitterness, unforgiveness, envy, jealousy, strife, whatever it is. If he owns it, he's going to build on it. He's not going to let it sit idle. He's going to build on it. That's why the Bible speaks of casting down strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's not just knowing God. It's having a relationship with him. The knowledge of God is like Adam knew his wife. When they were intimate, when they knew each other like no one else knew either one of them. Amen. Yeah. It's a personal relationship thing that you begin to build into your life. And God begins to build something in you, and that's the capacity to forgive people who don't deserve it. to show grace to people who are undeserving. Lest there be in any of you a root of bitterness springing up. It grows up, it grows strong, and it will hinder you and trouble you. And you will meet that when you go to pray. Because if you haven't forgiven, the Father will not forgive you. If you're not operating in a grace relationship with Him and a mercy relationship with Him, amen, you can't expect Him to hear and answer your prayer. So before you start building your faith to believe, you need to get something right in your heart if it needs fixing. Amen. Amen. We need to let God take care of a heart condition, because it's all about the heart before it's about the head. Amen. It's all about the relationship with Him before having faith in Him. And that's what's wrong when New Testament faith is defined as a force. You're reading, you're studying. Now I can stand on the Word and believe God. You got it posted on your refrigerator. You got it in your Bible marked up. You turn, you read it. I'm standing on the promises. You can stand on the promise if you have a relationship with the person who made the promise. If you bypass that, you don't have to say, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Listen, take not the Holy... That's Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Can you say amen? Then things begin to happen. Big things begin to happen in answer to prayer. Hallelujah. Then, restore unto me. Here's the big thing. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Not my salvation, His salvation. It's the word for deliverance. It's the word for God coming through and answering prayer and showing up and showing out in our behalf. Hallelujah. You'll have joy in your salvation when He comes through. I've spoken these things unto you. You know what those things were in context when Jesus said it in the New Testament? That my joy might be in you so that your joy might be full. And what was He speaking unto them? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Hallelujah. I've spoken this unto you. Answered prayer. God coming through. God helping you to overcome whatever it is. Hallelujah. So that your joy will be full. If your prayers are not answered, I can tell you right now, your joy is not going to be full because you were believing God for a brand new... What's the brand newest, most expensive? Lamborghini? Is that a biggie? Yeah. What do they cost? Anybody know?
Millions.
Hundreds.
Maybe a million.
Maybe a million, depending on whether you have it's tricked out.
Thousand at least.
Oh yeah. If I had one, I'd want it tricked out. I mean,
you're definitely a million.
I want it all the way. Glory be to God. Yeah. That's like my sandwich. How do you want? What do you want on everything? What do you want on your pizza? Everything. I don't care what kind of car you drive, house you live in, clothes you wear, what you wear. If you don't have the joy of a right relationship with the Lord, restore unto me. I used to be right with you. I prayed, you answered. I knew that you were with me no matter what kind of problem I faced. I could call on you and you would say, here am I. I had that relationship. I want it back. Restore unto me. But before I ask you to restore the joy of that kind of relationship and that kind of answer to prayer, hallelujah, I want you to help me to be in a position so you can create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. In the New Testament, it's grieving the Holy Spirit. To where he hasn't left you, but he's not moving in you. You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in, the Spirit of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Then you can get baptized in the Holy Ghost. But I know people that are sad, that are cast down, that seem like they're in a hopeless circumstance. They can't get a vicious circle of sin and death. Because in their heart, there are issues that is grieving the Holy Spirit. I've been in services, particularly funerals, where so many people have been arguing about who gets what, who deserves what. The caregiver has cared for all of these years, and somebody who didn't give a care, amen, didn't come to care, suddenly wants a piece of the pie to make sure I get my piece of the pie. And they're all in and the Holy Spirit is grieved. Man, it's hard on a Holy Ghost preacher to come under the anointing and bring something powerful in that service when the Holy Spirit himself is grieved. I can't override that. That's why I try to get people in one mind, with one accord, get people in this room with clean hearts. Hallelujah. So that you can have a right relationship with the Lord that will bring joy to your life. Amen. Restore. See, when I first read that, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Oh, we all need that. We need to be thankful we're saved today. We ought to be shouting happy to be saved today. Amen. But that's not what it's saying. So restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Not the fact that he saved you. You can include that. But it's God working, manifesting himself in your behalf. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe he's with me today. I know he's for me today. And I believe that he's with me. And if God be for us, look at the joy of his salvation. Amen. If God be for us, what more shall we say to these things? I got that mic in my back seat. Someday I'm going to bring it in. I'm not going to drop this mic or the other mic or this mic. I couldn't pick him up anyway. No, he's lost. He lost 100 pounds and I still can't pick him up. Yeah, give him a hand clap. That's victory in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're back. When you went on vacation, when he got back, he said, "How did y'all have church without me?" I said, "Well, it wasn't the same, Mike. It just wasn't the same." You know what I'm saying? We didn't smile near as much. Restore unto me the joy of answered prayer. Restore unto me the thou, O Lord. Listen to what he said about God. No wonder he said, had such joy. When it all came back, hallelujah. When the ark was gone, the enemy had taken it. Israel had compromised in sins and sinned. God was for them, but he wasn't with them. Amen. And they knew it. And they knew if an enemy comes up, and we're in this condition, they will defeat us, enslave us, destroy us. But if God was with us, if we had the ark, and we were right with God, amen, no enemy could defeat us. No enemy could defeat us. So when they repented, and they went down and got the ark was in a man who didn't have a covenant's house, and everything in his house was prospering. Amen. They went down there and got that ark. And they brought it back to its rightful place in the temple. Amen. And as they were bringing it back to the temple, King David saw him coming with it. And he said, that joy of his deliverance, I'm getting it back right now. I'm feeling it. Hallelujah. It's happening. The ark that was lost to the enemy is now getting back in its rightful place. God is back in his rightful place in our relationship with him. This is a basis for shouting and dancing. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through.
Praise God. Amen.
You know the rest of that? I guess we need to learn it one of these days. Amen. It might happen to you. Hallelujah. Might happen to Brother Taylor. He might jump up and I have to put that walker in the corner. It could happen. It could even happen to me. I took her shoes one Sunday morning. And those shoes right there looked like perfect dancing shoes for me. Amen. My feet would fit right in there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. These dress shoes no good for dancing. What did David do? Well, now the ark is back and God is back with us. Just remember, if an enemy comes up, call on the Lord and he will come out and take care of business. And aren't you glad that he's back? Come on, church, aren't you glad he's back? No, David said he's back. He's with us. We're right with him. He's forgiven our sin. He's recommitted to his covenant with us. He's not just for us. Now he's with us, praise God. He began to say things like, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. My glory," get it? "And the lifter of my head." Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When he saw it coming back, he said, "I can't stand it. I know the protocol for all of this. I'm the king. I know the politics and the protocol for a king. I know how to act, amen, as a king with all of the decorum and all of the reverence that is to be shown me. I know how to do all of that. But this is not an occasion to impress people. This is an occasion to please God. Amen. And to show my joy." And he took off his royal robe and he laid it down. And his wife went, yes, his wife was so embarrassed. And now he's not indecent. He has on an undergarment. It comes down probably below his knees, near his ankles. He has to pull it up from the back. And the front. He has to stick it in his belt. And now he looked like a grown man with a Depends. Can you visualize this? He can't dance like he danced with something down to his feet. He'd trip and fall. Now this is the king. Can you imagine Trump taking off his suit and jacket? Yeah, don't even think about it. Don't even. They put memes up on YouTube of him in all kinds of short dresses and everything with a purse. This is Bible. This is God and his relationship with his people. When they repented, he restored what was lost. And part of that was a joy of his promise, no matter what. When you pray toward this place, this temple, with the ark in its rightful place, when you make a prayer and you got problems and you got circumstances and you got enemies, when you pray in this place, I'm going to hear and I'm going to answer. Praise God. And the joy was so absolute, David did that and danced for the people. To show, amen, what he could do. No, he danced before the Lord with how much of his might? All of his might. Now, as my great-grandmother used to say, he probably really cut a shine. Can you say amen? He danced with all his might. Have you ever seen anybody under the power of the Holy Ghost that experiences that kind of joy and just does the chicken dance? Yo, you've seen me do it. Guilty as charged. I kept my pants on, all right. Hallelujah. Glory. He wasn't indecent except in the protocol and the dignity of a king. Some of you sitting here today, you need, in fact, I wish there was a video camera up here panning the audience. Because the joy test, say the joy test is going to be revealed next Sunday. Because you're going to see something. And y'all, everybody looking at me. But I want this camera zooming in on everyone as it scans the audience. And it zooms in. I don't want you to see you unguarded. Just the real you. Let me tell you something about your countenance. The eyes of him who is joyful rejoices the heart of others. And if the devil, I guarantee you, the devil has worked on you this week. How do you know, Brother Bill? Because he worked on me this week. He works on me every week. I wish I could tell you this week was the greatest week. Oh, God did so. No, this week was like last week and next week coming. I had battles this very week. I had personal challenges this very week. Brother Venable, you don't act like it. Well, I'm not putting on an act. My victory is real here today. But I had a battle. But I won. Amen. Actually, he won it in my behalf. And I received it from him. Praise God. But if you don't get victory over these conditions of the heart, you disqualify for answered prayer. And yet you're praying. And God honors the fact that you're praying. He wants to do more than just hear them. He wants to hear them so he can answer them. Amen. And if they're not getting answered, you need to look in your heart. Don't question God. Amen. There are people that should be here today that are not here. People are fickle. But they want God to be faithful. We get to be fickle. But he must be faithful. And we try to hold him to his word. And some of these roots of bitterness are toward God himself. I spent sometimes an hour. One time my wife was in Walmart. Glad she wasn't in one of those other stores. She was in Walmart. She can stay as long as she wants in Walmart. Amen. Amen. Stay out of, what's one, the high end? Who that?
Target.
Well, yeah, they're a little high. But what was there? Saks of Fifth Avenue. Macy's. Yeah, there's some. Yeah, where they got cologne that costs $30 an ounce. Or more. She's shopping. I'm in the car. I get a phone call. I answer the phone call. And someone who's been in church for years, heard the gospel for years, knows the scripture inside out. I have to try to defend God for not doing something or allowing something to happen in that life. And I found out there was bitterness, not just toward people that had wronged this person, but for God allowing this to happen. They need to forgive not only people. They didn't really need to forgive God. They need forgiveness from God. Amen. God doesn't need nor want your forgiveness for what you perceive that he didn't do when you wanted it done. Amen. We're the ones that need forgiveness. Amen. We need to get our heart right. We don't need someone to explain. I can't explain why he don't do this or don't do that, but I know my God well enough to know. If he doesn't, there's a purpose in it. And I know something about him. I know that all things, including that thing, work together for good to them that love him. Oh, wait a minute. To them that love him, not are bitter toward him, but that love him and are the called according to his purpose. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the next verse defines the purpose. For whom he did foreknow. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. He said, whatever's touching your life, even if the devil means it for evil, I mean it for good. And I can use what he meant for evil to bring that kind of good in your life, to make you more like Jesus. You say, Brother Venable, I don't want to be more like Jesus then, if it involves not having my way. That tells me something. There's a heart problem. You need a heart specialist called the Holy Spirit. And David knew he could have a heart problem in his relationship, and he said, search me. Amen. Run me through a CT scan. Run me through an X-ray. Amen. Open me up and take a good look inside. And if there's something wrong in here, I want you to bring it to the surface. I want to face it. I want you to show it to me. And I want to deal with it, because I don't want to get in the mess I was in when I was in that mess. Can you say amen? I should never have to try to defend God to someone who didn't get their way when they prayed, because the issue of prayer is not to get your way, but to get His will. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Have you ever prayed that? That's a loaded prayer, because His will may be entirely different than what you think is supposed to happen. Well, Brother Venable, I prayed it didn't smooth out. Oh, what a surprise. It didn't turn out the way you wanted. I prayed he didn't deliver me from. Oh, you meant he decided to take you through. Right? I don't want that. Well, like I told you, I'm not trying to run you off. Lord knows we need you. We can't be much lighter than we are. I'm trying to get you into something that'll take you through the hard times. Because if you've latched on to having enough faith to manipulate your life to have everything you want the way you want it, amen, you are in a serious condition today. There is no joy in your life, because when you go through, you don't know what to do. You will end up staying bitter at people, blaming them, and it'll take a step further. Like I have counseled people that were in that condition where they became bitter at God, who is their only hope in life. And the devil is cackling. He's laughing. Said, I don't have to do any more. They have made a choice to question the only hope they had. And now they're in this deep depression. And for all practical purposes, we become just like the world around us. Without God and without hope. And once that happens, we do not represent our King nor His kingdom. We're just like them. And we're unlike Him. We're just like them. And we think we can go out into the marketplace of the world and win them to Jesus. But we can't, not if we're just like them. It's the fact that we have the joy of our salvation back. How many want to be right with God? That we might claim that promise, their Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord turn His face toward you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Can you say amen? What a blessing to be received.
What scripture is that?
The Lord bless you, Lord. It's Deuteronomy.
Numbers. Well, blessing
to Numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Aaron's blessing to. I can get that for you.
Number 6, I believe.
Number 6, 20 something. Read the book of Numbers. You'll run across it. That's homework. Amen. And it's yes, it's an old covenant blessing, but it is amplified, not destroyed, taken away. It's amplified and magnified in the new covenant. The blessing of the Lord, that blessing maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. And before you go ka-ching, ka-ching, amen. It's not about how much material wealth you have, because you can't have enough money to give you the peace that's promised through that covenant.
Amen.
Ask Elon, if you ever meet him. Come on, he ain't got it. Ask Trump, he ain't got it. Can you say amen? There's no movie star that has it. No country music star that has it. Look at the suicide rate in the richest country in the world with the most opportunity. And mostly among young people that are without God and without hope. They're going after what the world says you need to be fulfilled and happy. And there's a dead end, because there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad God is for me. And I'm glad God is actually with me today. And I'm glad when I call upon the Lord, he bends down to listen. And he doesn't just hear my prayer. He comes down to meet the need. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Venable, there are things in your life still. Yes, he's going to do it in his timing. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't carry that as a burden. I carry it as an expectant hope. God is up to something big, because he set me a praying. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. We're almost done and we're just getting started. I want a clean heart. How many could, not right now, but could that be a, thank you. How many want a clean heart? You've got to let the Holy Spirit come in. And the things that are in the back room, in the broom closet, locked away, you go in there. Things that have been swept under the rug, he's going to lift up the rug. We changed out a rug after about a year and a half. That's all it took, with a big hairy dog. I mean, a big double haired dog. And we lifted up the rug. And we vacuumed it twice a week at least. But under that rug, stuff had built up. When we pulled that rug back, it was awful. Dead cucaracha. How'd he get under there? All the way back. That's a roach in Spanish. It actually is. I didn't know it. Remember that song? La cucaracha. They're singing about a roach. I had no... Are you Latin? You know the Latin language? This lady came to our church. She's Spanish. And I said, you know, we used to sing la cucaracha, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Da, 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 da. I said, I mentioned cucarachas for roaches. She said, that's right. That's the word for roach. I said, this whole song I've been singing is about roaches? Wait. You got to run that by me and all of us again.
Yeah.
Say the song. Oh, I love it.
It doesn't have any more legs. It all repeats.
Like cucaracha, the cockarocha, he can't even walk because he don't got no legs. Did you know that, Brother Taylor? Are you learning something here today? What did you learn in service? We learned the cockroach has no legs and can't even walk. Oh, hallelujah. And some of you hadn't even smiled at that. Listen, if you don't, I don't want you to put on a grin. I just would like to see people that are God's children, amen, pray that prayer that David prayed, restore to me. Get my heart so clean that I can have an expectation from you to help me no matter what I'm facing. Amen. That I can call on you and know you're going to answer. Hallelujah. Amen. And restore to me something that is critical to my victory that I have lost. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Not just when you do it, but the expectation of it, because I know you're going to do it in your timing and in your way, but because you are for me and you're not against me. And if you're for me, who can be against me? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. David said, he got to the point after that. He said, the day that I pray in that relationship right with him, the day that I pray, my enemies turn back. This one thing I know, God is for me. That's the joy of his deliverance when you call on him in prayer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know. I may need them. I actually put on her shoes one Sunday and had a good time in the Lord. So if you see me put on her shoes, you're going to see the pastor dancing. He's dancing at church. Shame on him. Yeah, the frown is what we're in church today. The world is a mess. Yes, it is. But the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God. That's where he rules. Amen. That's where he reigns. Praise God. The devil owns the world. Don't give him any ground of yours. Amen. Give him no ground. No, it's a terra firma. That's what place means. Don't give in to anything that he tempts you with. Praise God. Amen. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Brother Venable, I've been hurt. Listen, Jesus was hurt. Hanging on that cross as a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. If we would just shut up about our hurt, if we could just close our mouth for a little while, amen, and examine our heart and see why we are so despondent. We have a God who says there's oil and there's wine. No matter what the devil has done, amen, the Holy Spirit is able to undo. No matter what his plan is, my plan will supersede it. But you've got to be right with me, and you've got to be real with me, and you can't play these religious games with me. I want to help you. I'm serious about delivering you. Amen. And I've over 50 years of ministry. You know people that get bitter against God. Do you not think we've discussed it? Person who used to love him, serve him, bow to him, enjoy him. And now there's a bitterness, there's questions, there's resentment built into that life. And you know what makes it worse? It makes it worse when somebody's talking about what all God's doing for them and it's not happening to that person. And they get upset with God. And the devil is saying, now they're without God and they're without hope. And that hopelessness comes in the form of disillusionment, discouragement, and depression. Yeah. On one of our little reels online, I was talking about offering your body a living sacrifice. I forgot that the world out there, carnally minded, they don't understand that. They think that's something terrible. Yeah. That God is asking something terrible. And they made a comment. And the comment was, underneath that, somebody said, we need to remember who we are, and just commending that statement. And somebody else come on there and said, is he deranged? Is he deranged? See, as a Christian, you get that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something, the world don't get it. They do not get this total commitment to Christ. They don't get it. But they need to see in us the result of it. So if they ever begin to get it, they'll say, I want what they got. But this is what you got to do to get it. You can't play church. You just can't have a superficial religious relationship with God. You need a personal, intimate relationship with Him. Amen. And the pastor we got, listen, I don't want the devil to defeat you. I heard a preacher say this the other day. I want to try to close with this thought. If you're sheep and there's a wolf that's trying to get at you and devour you and destroy you, the reason I preach so straight on Sunday morning, you want to know why? Because I'm a mean old sheepdog. Amen? Come on, church. I said I'm coining another pastor's phrase, but I love it. I'm a mean old sheepdog. If I see the devil making an inroad, I'm going to call him out. And if you're giving place to him, I'm going to call you out. Because I don't want him overcoming you. I want you to know the victory that is yours in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Biggest amen I got is when I said I'm a mean old sheepdog. Glory to God. But I got an amen out of it. Will you put the praise songs up that I give you? We're going to close with this song. And this thought today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good today. Hallelujah. Something big is about to happen in my life. Did God give you a vision? Did He give you a dream? No. The devil has come in ways that makes me know. He wants me to back off. He doesn't want me to have a vision any further than us foe and no mo. Don't get us down to four, please. But, amen. Come to church. Hear the word. Get prayers answered. Get the joy of His salvation back in your life. Can you say amen? Listen, there was real worship here today. I was encouraged by your worship. I heard people praising God, and I believe it's coming from the heart. And we didn't have to shame anyone. We just got together and recognized He deserves the glory and the honor that we're going to give Him in this place for what He has done for us. Can you say amen? How many want the joy of His salvation? Amen. And we'll find that scripture for you. It's a blessing. You done got it? That you got that cares over. Yeah, Deuteronomy. God. Numbers. There's something in Deuteronomy for us. Don't get me started. Hallelujah. Amen. In the book of probably Numbers 6. Amen. I usually remember that, but that wasn't my train of thought today, except it became my train of thought. The blessing of the Lord. It. Not what it produces, but the favor of God Himself. It maketh rich. And He addeth no sorrow with it, because the salvation of the Lord is seen and experienced in the lives of His people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Prayed for my wife this week. She had a stomach issue where the bad bacteria is trying to take over. If you don't catch it, it can set up sepsis and it can be fatal and all these different scary stuff. Yeah. And so they got her eating probiotics. She's eating yogurt and she was dehydrated. She's taking electrolyte. I bought her electrolyte drinks and she didn't like some of them, and I drink them myself. So I'm electrified. Hallelujah. Pray. Get enough electrolyte, you'll become electrified. Yeah. But you know something? That symptom she was having took her to find a solution for it. And so the symptom didn't leave, but the answer came. God took her through, not from, but it was an answer to prayer. She put something on Facebook. I don't have Facebook because all those, you know, the people who think I'm deranged come there and remind me of it. I've been rearranged. It may have left me deranged to them. Lost my mind, got the mind of Christ. Pretty deranged, but God was right. But He's wrong. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. And she said something that she knows me better than anybody in this room. 63 years we've been hanging out together. As man and wife. And friends. Besties. Best friends forever. Like you and Brother Taylor. Still calls her sweetheart. Hallelujah. My sweetheart. My sweetheart. Hallelujah. My sugar booger. I know. Pamela likes it. That's all that matters. Run it by Mike. He's But she's put something, because she's got Facebook, and I ran across something, a statement she made a little while back, and she said, under one of the little reels or something that had me preaching for about, you know, minute and a half, she said, I love this man. I like that. Yeah. After all these years, I like to see it. I'm glad it's on out there for the whole world. She lives with me and she still loves me. She said, I love this man. And then underneath, she honored me. She said, he is a real man of God. And I thought, yeah, that's what I want to be. I know I'm not perfect. I know that I make mistakes. But I am a man of God. God is my Father, my Abba Father. Hallelujah. Amen. And I am His child today. I'm one of the sheep. Praise God. But He's letting me be a leader and an inspirer and instructor of sheep. And you know why I can do it well? Because I am one. I'm not above the sheep. I'm part of the sheep. Praise God. So I know what the flesh feels like. I know what defeat feels like. I know bitterness when it comes. I know how to get rid of it when it comes. Praise God. I know how to be right with God and enjoy the joy of His salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I could go into blessings, but these blessings are all little. But when the devil really comes in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord stems that tide. But he came like a flood with purpose and intent. Back off. You're almost 80. Isn't it time to stop and just back off? You've spent 53 years in ministry. I want to brag on God just for a moment. 53 years. I probably missed a service because of the honky flu. That's white people flu. No, it's when you're just honking your nose, you know, stuff coming out. But I don't remember it. If you do, please tell me. How long have you been hanging out with this outfit? Since 93? Oh, you're just a kid. You're new at it. You're not tough enough. How long have you been hanging out with this outfit here? Before y'all came and you went off in your ministry and you came back. But I'm not talking about when you came back, but before you left, probably 20 years or 15. I married y'all.
You did. Yeah. So we've been married for 38 years.
You've been married 38 years.
Before that.
So before that. Yeah, so 35, 40 years somewhere in that neighborhood. Wow, you veterans. Tough as nails. These people are tough as nails.
The Lord spoke to me and sent me to you, Pastor. The Lord said, when I left my mom's church, I said, well, where am I going to go? He said, I want you to go to Pastor Venable.
Thank you.
The Lord said, He spoke your name. I want you to go.
He said, I'll whoop you if you don't. No. No, they came willingly. They know what I preach, what I stand for, and they came willingly. I have been pressured to change the way I preach, the length of time, the strength of the sermon. Amen. But if I changed it, Most people would not come here if it was just like everybody else. Just give you a little shallow, just barely break the surface message and send you out into this world in the same condition you came in. I want you to leave here in better condition than you came in, even if you came in good condition. Can you say amen? I want to be able to say, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Because you've been exposed to the appointed, anointed Word of God. Hallelujah. And His Word will not return void. It will accomplish what He purposes. And He has purposed to do something big in behalf of His people, for our good, and for His glory. Will you receive it today? Hallelujah. All right. Let's sing this particular song if we can. Amen. I'm trying to. There's not many, so I can find it. Praise the Lord. I know a name. I know a name. The name of the Lord God of Jacob, defend thee. Call on me. Praise God. Do you know the God that you serve by name? It's all wrapped up. All the redemptive names of God, old and new, it's all wrapped up in one person in whom all the fullness of Godhead dwelt in a human body. And His name is Jesus. Can you say amen?